This is the Naughty Snorty, the World Cup of 2001 hip-hop songs. The contest is really heating up. We've already lost some big names, as we'll find out very soon. I'm Liam. Scott, you're here as well. Hello, Scott. How you doing?
Hello, hello, hello. You look lovely. I can see you today, and you're in the BBC, and you've got a microphone, and you look like you're a sports commentator at a horse racing track. It's amazing.
Oh, wow. I'll take that. That's pretty cool. I'm just picturing that now. Yeah. No, we're not talking about sport. We're talking about as far away from sport as you can get in terms of the music, but in a very sporting way, because it is a World Cup, after all. There is no silverware at the end, but we'll just pretend there is. So we've already had the first qualifying round. It was all of the tracks that weren't number ones going up against each other, and then the 16 winners of that lot will go up against the 16 number ones, and 15 plus Sophia Lesbexter, because she deserves it. Because she's, I think, the reason I gave on the actual podcast was that she, like, you know, we all chose her. But equally, I think if you were going to choose somebody who deserves a wild card spot, you'd choose somebody who did Kitchen Discos and kept us all entertained during lockdown, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
That's my reasoning behind Sophie being in there.
I love it.
So, qualifying round is done. Let's go through some of the results and see who's gone through. And we'll start with, now, in 2000, we had artists who got involved and they shared it, and that's why they got so far, because their fan base got involved and it was such a big deal. And already we're starting to see artists getting involved, and this is why Wheatus, well, partly why, but for one, it's a tune, but secondly, they also got involved. Wheatus have gone through around one because they beat Janet Jackson, All For You, 84.2%. Are you surprised by that, Scott? I mean, it's such a big tune. What did you vote for?
I voted for Wheatus.
Okay.
I'm not surprised. Like, I know Janet Jackson's massive. I think she's more of a global icon outside of the UK, but I think the actual impact of Teenage Dirtbag was much more prominent in the UK than Janet Jackson, to be honest. So I, even if we just hadn't retweeted that, I still think that that would have won.
Okay. Moving on to Basement Jacks against Danny Minogue and Reva, and it's bad news for Danny, which is bad news for Scott, I think, as well.
Yeah.
As such a big Danny fan. But Basement Jacks, you can't deny that they deserve it. It's a big tune. We love it. We love it a lot, Romeo.
If you're going to go, you might as well go to something like that.
Yeah.
And I still don't think people at face value on a tweet would understand who Reva are, and it would look like she was just like a secondary part as opposed to it being a hardcore Danny track, you know what I mean?
Yes, it's unfortunate, but we'll have to move on. We'll cry, but we'll move on. We have to, basically. Outkast, Miss Jackson against Nelly Furtado, Turn Off The Light. She's got two tracks in the contest, or she did. Now she's only got one because Turn Off The Light was knocked out convincingly by Outkast, 71.8%. Nelly's going to be okay, ain't she? Because I'm Like A Bird is so big. And Turn Off The Light maybe is one of the more kind of lesser known ones, possibly.
Yeah, I would say that.
It was kind of always expected to lose this one.
Yeah, I do think what it did highlight is actually the whole question around how good Outkast is, because I thought, and I've always thought through this, anytime you chuck Outkast at me, I'll think it's miles better than most things.
Yeah.
And actually, I had to stop and consider and think. So maybe I've underrated Nelly and maybe I've over-egged Outkast.
I think both could be possible, yeah. I think it's impossible to over-egg Outkast because they are brilliant. But Nelly, I think she's always been underrated. I think she's always been underrated, and even to this day, still hasn't got the props she deserves, to be honest.
Yeah.
Right, next one was a one that we kind of laughed at when it got drawn out because the two tracks are very different. Jennifer Lopez and Play up against Papa Roach and Last Resort. And this didn't go the way I thought it was going to go.
No, it didn't actually for me.
J-Lo wins. It was close, though. It was very close. It could have gone either way, really. But J-Lo did edge it out, 51.4%. Scott, your thoughts?
I do think that actually when we think back, we emphasise that J-Lo Play was an absolute jam. It's full of hooks, really. It's a big production. Definitely deserves the introduced status. I do think that there's a personal connection with Papa Roach, but if you don't like that style of music and that comes to your head when you're looking and scrolling through a tweet, you're going to choose J-Lo quickly. If you love the typical, stereotypical pop track, and that's why you're on the podcast, you will choose J-Lo over Papa, potentially.
And maybe Last Resort is just too fresh. It still feels too real during the pandemic when everyone's not feeling too happy. Maybe it's still a bit too real.
Yeah.
I can see why it might be a bit of a turn-off.
Yeah.
Next one, Alicia Keys against Liberty X. It was two debut tracks, but it was Alicia who came through, 59.5%. There's not much to say, is there? Because Liberty, you've got so many more tracks to come, whereas you've said before you think this could be like sort of this might be Alicia at her best.
Yeah, this is peak Alicia potentially, and Liberty X have got nothing to worry about. They've got something coming with some canes and sticks and stuff and leather, so.
Yeah. That song, Just a Little, came on the radio this morning where I work, and I was like lap dancing on chairs in my little control room. It was great.
Did the hip school?
I love it. You know what else came on? Pure Shores.
Oh, did it?
I just like, I haven't heard it for a little while, and I was just in bliss for 4.5 minutes. It's perfect. Right, next. Because that went out in first round last year. I was looking back at the results from last year, and Pure Shores lost in the first round. Still gutted, underrated. Next, Gorillaz against Basement Jacks. Now, I did say when this came out that it felt like a bit of a derby match to me, like two artists and two tracks that are fairly close together in the cool rankings and in the cool space. Basement Jacks came out on top for the second time, and we lose Gorillaz very early. What do you reckon?
I think that we were... I remember at the time in the podcast saying that if somebody had asked me where's my head at is at, I would have said it was number one. Mm. And actually it wasn't. It was way back down the other side of the chart. So I feel like this is the comeback, and this is the reposition of actually why that track should have been a number one.
Mm.
So I'm kind of happy with it, but got it at the same time, you know what I mean?
Yeah. We'll get some more Gorillaz in like 2005, which I'm looking forward to, like the Demon Days kind of era. So that'll be good.
Oh.
And this is their start. They've got so much more to come from Gorillaz. So not too upset, because I know there's still loads of stuff to come. Next one was Destiny's Child, Bootylicious, up against O-Town, All or Nothing. Now, O-Town, maybe not one of the bigger boy bands in terms of the kind of caliber we've had so far. Like, you know, they've got like All or Nothing with a huge, huge track, but when you think of boy bands, you go straight to Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, and then O-Town is some way down the list. And maybe that's why they didn't make it through this round. Bootylicious, you can't really argue, can you?
No, that's it. I think you can't undo the first 3 seconds of Stevie Nicks, to be fair, so sold.
Ricky Martin and Christina, a track that I know you're very fond of, Scott, and you've been a bit weepy about, up against Nelly Furtado, I'm Like a Bird. And Nelly makes it through. She got one in the end, and we say goodbye to Christina and Ricky. It doesn't take anything away from the fact that that track, Ricky and Christina, is very emotional, and I think it'll always be special to you, won't it?
Yeah, I love it. I think it's brilliant. I think it's completely underrated. I think they were a really good, like, little dynamic duo. So, yeah, I do, like Nelly Furtado, I'm Like a Bird. It's kind of untouchable, isn't it, though?
Yeah, I'd like to see it go far. Not that I want to influence the votes, but I would like to see it go far. Right, next one, Dandy Warhols. Now, this is upsetting. This is really upsetting, because if you remember when we first did the review, I compared 18's Upside Down to the coronavirus, which I now retract, because for one, you know, the coronavirus is very serious, and two, actually, Upside Down has really, really changed for me. It's gone from being a track that I wanted to scrub off myself as bleached to a track that I want to, like, literally drown myself in, that I'm not happy about it. And I thought it might go far. I thought maybe the bubblegum Swedishness might see it through, but no, it was knocked off by Dandy Warhols. Are you as good as I am, Scott?
Do you know what? I think that actually the 18's Upside Down has won something across this decade. I don't know exactly what that title is.
Yeah.
It might be the Naughtiest Naughty, but it might be like the Naughtiest Naughty Extra. There's something special about that that we completely bypassed. And for the fact that we still talk about it and still know exactly what it is, and I'm pretty sure now I know every single lyric from having it on the playlist. That's a winner. That's won the whole podcast in some alternative dimension.
My grades are down from A's to D's. I'm actually holding the microphone and like I'm a pop star. I got lost in the moment there, sorry. Right, moving on to an interesting one here. I think at the time I said both very cool tracks. Ayo and Nadia Ali, Rapture, up against Mystique, All I Want. This was a trouncing, to be honest. It was like three votes to one for Mystique against Rapture.
Wow.
Yeah, what a shame. Mm-hmm. I think if anybody, it's one of those ones where people would look at it and go, I don't know what that is, but I do not Mystique it. I'll vote for Mystique. Not to prejudge or anything, not to presume anything, but Mystique probably goes through on the name factor, whereas those two tracks don't deserve to be that far apart in terms of the votes.
No.
Like, I think that's a lot closer than it came out in the end.
I still think the dance music through this whole decade is going to get a battering simply because people don't fully know exactly what all of the different dance tracks are. And even when we're going to get to, what, 2009? Is it 2009? We're going to see Calvin Harris come in.
Yeah.
And this is going to be before We Found Love.
Mm.
So even Calvin could score badly because people go, I don't know that Kelvin track. And I'm like, hold on a second. I'm Not Alone was massive.
Yeah.
Flashback was massive.
Yeah.
Acceptable in the 80s was massive.
Yeah.
But yeah, 2011, 2010, Rihanna, Swedish House Mafia, mm-hmm. Martin Garrix is probably where the rebirth of dance music came, where normal people might be able to hear it without thinking.
Yeah. At least we enjoy it, and we're the ones who make the podcast, so...
Yeah.
we do value your opinions, but also, like, you're sleeping on some big tracks here. We are upset with some of yours. Right, the next one. Superman Lovers and Starlight up against Eve, Who's That Girl? I know what I voted for, and I know I'm not a massive fan of Starlight, so I'm kind of like, I'm a bit gutted at what's happened here, that Eve has gone, but Starlight's true. I know you, I think you're a bigger fan of us than I am, Scott, so how do you feel?
Yeah, my connection now to Eve, Who's That Girl, is the two of us singing it, the head movements that we do. But yeah, I am happy because I do love Starlight, and I do think that there's so much about it that's brilliant. And randomly, did we discuss that one of Daft Punk, actually?
It's that same sort of era. I'm not sure how related they are, but I know it's the same kind of like new disco.
I think since we've discussed that track from Superman Lovers, I think I've gone down a rabbit hole of what did the individuals of Daft Punk do, and there might be a link. I can't remember the details, so I'm not going to go into it too much in case I have to eat my own words, but there's a link.
Are you thinking about Stardust?
Maybe, yes, that's what I'm doing, aren't I? Yeah.
Yeah, because okay. Stardust is one of Daft Punk.
Okay, there we go.
Right, the next one. This was two very cool dance tracks, both very atmospheric, both very kind of intense in their own ways. And yeah, I think this is another one of the big name came out on top. Safri Duo lost with the Bongo song, but Faithless We Come One came through. Going into the series, I knew the Safri Duo song because I'd produced a dance music show, but not the Faithless track.
Oh.
But I think for other folks, it was a different way around.
Yeah.
Faithless wins. Faithless could go far. I think they're very, very respected, aren't they? Very respected. But maybe if you put a Faithless up against a pop track, it's probably going to be curtains.
We need the Glasgow fans that have experienced Faithless on the TV or actually live at the festival to come out and support that one. And that's, I think, that was an unfortunate draw of two tracks that could have gone way further.
Yeah. Next out was Steps, It's the Way You Make Me Feel, and Fatboy Slim, Weapon of Choice. We remarked last week that the two videos are both excellent for these tracks in their own way. I mean, like, Steps is so theatrical and dramatic. Weapon of Choice is like a set piece dream with Christopher Walken doing loads of like crazy stunts, and it's like all a big one take thing. It's amazing. In terms of the tracks, though, which I guess is what people voted for, Steps wins.
Yeah.
And I know we're a pop music podcast, and the logo's all Top of the Pops and stuff, so I think we naturally attract more pop than other genres, so Steps is always going to have a bigger chance than most other bands. But yeah, Steps squeezing through. It wasn't a landslide like you might have thought.
No, I don't know who I would have wanted to have Steps up against.
Yeah.
At this point, I'm not sure where I would have wanted, but it wasn't that.
No.
I didn't want that. I didn't want Weapon of Choice to go at this point.
It's unfortunate, but we'll always hold it dear in our hearts.
Yeah.
Next out. Now, I know Christoph of Ian Vandal, who we've spoken to, he commented on our Instagram post going, oh, no, I'm up against Blue. And he was right to be worried because he has indeed been knocked out. 30.8% for Ian Vandal. Blue, All Rise, sails through 69.2%. Again, pop music track. I did think that Castles in the Sky stood a bigger chance, though, because it's recognisable to everyone, I would have thought. Like, of all the dance tracks we've done, it's one of the more recognised mainstream ones, surely.
I think it's the fact that there's the grey area about who owns Ian Vandal, and if you tag and handles and stuff. So we couldn't tag an at Ian Vandal.
No.
And we had to tag Christoph, which should be only retweeted to friends and family.
Yeah.
So I do think that could have gone a different way. I think to get that amount of votes with pretty much no support from Ian Vandal fans is a big feat.
Yeah, fair enough. Mm-hmm. Next one, another artist who didn't have a social media thing to at, which may have contributed to them being knocked out, but also you're up against Linkin Park, which probably puts you on the back foot because this is huge. And you mentioned Papa Roach as a track that maybe if you don't like that sound, you're just not going to get on board. Linkin Park, I think the sound is very clear and there maybe isn't folks who like that, but the message and the song and the lyrics and the power and the everything, the package of Chester and all that sort of stuff, that's always going to see it through. And I think that Linkin Park, as it is for me as a winner, could go on very far in this contest as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. There's a connection there that you can't fault with that track.
76.9% for that, so I think that's a big convincing win. It's a shame for Celso Nugget. For one, because the track name is so long, it didn't fit on the poll, so it had to be if you wanna sell soul dot dot dot. I'm sure if I had the nugget, that might have clawed some more votes, because who doesn't love a nugget? But yeah, that's a shame. I do love that track, and I listened to it again recently, and I got lost in it totally. But equally, I listened to Linkin Park in the end a lot this week, and it gets me every time. So that was a tough one. This final one was, I think, anything but tough for you, Scott. Because you're a bit repulsed by Purple Pills, but it did win. It was up against a obscure, you'd say, Oxide Neutrino track. Purple Hills went through very convincingly, 78.1%. You told me last week that you've started to kind of, like, I've started to help you ease a little bit on Purple Pills, Purple Hills.
It's just simple. It's because you like it and I like you. I like it more. Well, this is basic psychology, isn't it, sometimes, with things? But when my wife was going through the poll the other day, she was like, I don't know these two tracks. So I sang Purple Pills for her, could not for the life of me get any of Oxide Neutrino out. And I was like, don't you dare vote for Purple Pills. It didn't influence any of the rest of her votes.
Who did you go for?
Oxide Neutrino.
Oh, all right. Okay, fair enough. That's fine. But it was in vain, because Purple Pills did make it through. So those are the 16 tracks that have gone through, but who are they going to go up against? That's the big question. We've done the draw. I did it last night because I'm at work and I can't really, like, bring my ping pong balls to work. That'd be a bit strange, wouldn't it? They already think I'm a weirdo here, let alone bringing ping pong balls in. So I've done the draw, and do you want to hear what it's going to be? Shall I lay it on you?
Yeah.
So those 16 tracks went in the same bowl as 16 Orange Balls, which are the number one singles, plus Sophie, who got the bye to the next round. So now there's a chance that these tracks you've gone through can go up against big number one tracks. I guess if you're a blue ball and you get drawn against a blue ball, that's kind of good. If you're a blue ball and you go up against, like, an orange ball like Kylie, you're probably a bit screwed, but who knows? This is just what we think. It's just been done this way. We may be totally wrong. We could be losing some big tracks in round one, especially because there's been some tracks being put against each other. It's really hard to separate completely.
Yeah.
So, first out, Jennifer Lopez with Play up against, here she is, Kylie Minogue, Can't Get You Out of My Head. Wow. Two pop queens from different parts of the world. It's not the biggest J-Lo track, but that really could go anywhere, and we could have a big upset in the first round. That could be a bit mad, couldn't it?
That could be, because I think the difficulty is, and I'm learning this from still being on in groups and in blogs in Kylie groups, is that there is a lot of controversy around Can't Get You Out of My Head. Nobody disagrees that it's not a brilliant track, but lots of people say that it isn't her best, and all we need is people to go, that's not Kylie's best, Can't Wait for Love at First Sight or something, and to choose J-Lo. Kylie could go because of the politics that surrounds that track, and J-Lo could stay because the intro juiciness of it.
Yeah.
And I think I need people to remember that Can't Get It In My Head is hook, 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 hook. Do you remember how many words it was? Was it like 50 words?
Yeah, it was 50 words, which is quite impressive.
Yeah, like that's... Yeah. There is genius to Kylie. It needs to stay.
Okay, next out, it was two blue balls, Alicia Keys, Fallen, and Faithless, We Come One. That's a tricky one. Alicia Keys is probably the bigger recognised name for our pop music audience.
Yeah.
But in terms of quality of track, hard to separate.
Yeah.
Hard to separate.
Yeah. That's weird. Yeah. I know which one's getting my vote. And clear as day, getting my vote.
Next out. Now, Wheatus, they've already seen off a big name in Janet Jackson. Now they've got to get through Steps. This is going to be an interesting one. Steps, It's the Way You're Making Me Feel against Wheatus, Teenage Dirtbag. Now we know that Wheatus have got involved. Now we know that they've got their fans on board. It needs to be a big track, doesn't it, to go up against them?
Yeah.
And Steps provides that big challenge. You know what I mean? Like, Wheatus, you may retweet, you may have your fans on, but I think when Steps fans get wind of that, they're going to be baying for it, and it could be a feisty one.
I don't think Steps fans are going to get on this until later rounds. Like,
well, they need to get on it now before it's too late.
They need to get on it now, and they might miss it because it all happened so quickly. Wheatus could knock Steps out at this point.
We'll see. right, this is two tracks coming in for the first time. So Solid Crew, 21 seconds. And I'm sure they're thrilled about this. Going up against Blue with Too Close. Mm. A very weird mismatch contest there. What do you think? Where's this going to go? Do you have any insight?
Blue have never looked as lame in their life. Have they sitting beside anything? We really both love this Blue track.
Yeah.
I think I've seen a little shot of what this whole situation looks like. Blue do not get anything easy across this round at all. This is actually the easiest one for Blue because it's London versus London.
Yeah.
Practically at this point. I don't know. This I can't even predict where this is going to go because they're both brilliant in so many different ways. Blue could win simply because of who follows the Twitter accounts, potentially. So Solid could cause a massive emotion in people where it's just brilliant. You know what? The genius of 21 seconds and everybody spitting bars, Top of the Pops performances a lot. It could... yeah, I don't know.
We shall see. Yeah, it's an interesting one. It'll be interesting to see if we get any new kind of people come into the contest to stick up for So Solid Crew. I know we've already got a lot of Blue fans here. I know that for a fact. But yeah. I'd love some So Solid Crew
yeah.
to come and join us and join the madness. Next out is another couple of number ones entering the contest for the first time. Five was Let's Dance. A video with a scene involving rain, and Jerry Halliwell, It's Raining Men, a video that's basically all about rain, but in terms of men. Scott, where do you feel? I know, Jerry, you're a big fan. I know I really don't like this track at all, and my vote is definitely going to Five. Sorry. But do you find this hard? Because Five was a winner for you.
Yeah, this is very... Is it very close? Is it... it's very seesaw, right slap bang in the middle. I'd have to listen to both tracks at this point. It's Raining Men because I do like It's Raining Men. Actually, do you know what it is? I like It's Raining Men slightly better because Five Let's Dance, the video bloody annoys me, doesn't it?
The video does ruin it, but we'll see if people pay enough attention, or maybe they just love the song.
Yeah.
I love the filtering at the start. Beautiful.
There's something special for Jerry because of the Bridget Jones factor as well. So Jerry might take this, to be fair.
Mm-hmm. Next out, Basement Jack's Romeo, one of their two tracks that got through. And this is tricky. Sophie Ellis-Bextor, the nation's darling, she's a big deal. Romeo against Murder on the Dance Floor. That's a tricky one.
Kind of want Romeo to go. That's not really bad because I love Romeo and I don't know.
Obviously, we don't want to influence the votes, but this might be what has to happen.
I don't know. I don't know. Basement Jacks are not as in the public eye currently as Sophie has been. Sophie could knock them off, but both brilliant songs.
Sophie is very much more in the mainstream public eye, but just this week in my new music hunting thing that I do every day, basically. Basement Jacks have done a couple of remixes for an artist called Shy Girl.
Oh, yeah.
She's this really interesting kind of really underground mainstream crossover kind of dance, DJ. Mm-hmm. And they've done some really good remixes for her. So I'm hoping that this is kind of their way of getting themselves back on the mainstream thing again, because they're really good remixes of an already brilliant track. Mm-hmm. So that's that. Romeo against Sophie Ellis-Bextor. Next out, Dandy Warhols, who so cruelly dispatched of the 18s, get what they deserve. Roger Sanchez, another chance. I know where I stand on this one. For one, because I'm still upset about 18s being knocked out, but also because Roger was my winner for a long time, and if it wasn't for Linkin Park, would probably still be my winner now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I'm in the same camp as you.
Okay. Next out, Nelly Furtado. She did lose one of her tracks, but she did get I'm Like a Bird through. Goes up against the bedroom pop master, the innovator that was Daniel Bedingfield. Got to get through this. Daniel comes in as a big, big deal. A cultural icon, a pop culture legend of 20 years now, hasn't been doing many new tracks for a long time, but gotta get through this, recognized as an anthem by lots of people. But so is I'm Like a Bird in different places.
Yeah, does she do the vocal ramp up that he does though? I don't know. He's an intro juice, she's ethereal and everything about it's lovely. He could just take this because of the, it's a J-Lo play vibe here, isn't it? Where you just hear a second of it and you just press that button.
We shall see. Now, next out is Lady Marmalade, Christina Aguilera, Lil Kim, Pink, Maya. Oh. And it needs a big track to compete with those four people. Well, here's four people. Blue, If You Come Back. I think if you were going to put Lady Marmalade against a Blue track, of which there are three in the running at the moment, I probably wouldn't have put this one. I would have probably put All Rise as a one to really like give it a good run. This one could be deceptively difficult though, because it's Blue and people love Blue.
I think All Rise, I think on brand, brand to brand, is the best
fight for Blue
versus Lady Marmalade. But if we're going vocally, Lee Ryan's vocals and If You Come Back is a good fight for it, but will people remember it whenever they go to press that button?
That's the thing.
What I'm thinking. Yeah. Blue definitely draw the short straw here.
They are in the next game as well. Blue All Rise goes up against Destiny's Child Survivor. Now, Blue have got the fact that they're British on their side, and we've also been a British podcast. But Destiny's Child, it's Queen Beyoncé and Queen Kelly and Queen Michelle. Yeah. That's a tricky one.
Mm-hmm. And they're Blue. They haven't even hit royalty status, have they? They're in a difficult position.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Blue could take that still. I think that's probably their weakest one so far, because I do think that All Rise is a big jam for them.
Okay.
So,
next out, a track that you've already said today that you've you made your own wife vote against it.
Wow.
D12, Purple Pills / Purple Hills, going up against a Westlife B-side. It's only really in here. It's qualified as number one because it was the B-side of Queen of My Heart, but actually this track itself wasn't the number one, although maybe this was why it became a number one. I don't know. Whatever. Westlife, when you're looking like that up against D12, and that again is the so solid crew thing of Blue against of those two head to head. It's like, you know, if D12 and Westlife were in an actual physical fight, Westlife would scarper pretty quick. They couldn't compete with the, especially D12 in their, you know, coked up rage that they'd be in after the amount of drugs they'd taken in that song. Or maybe D12 would just overdose and Westlife would just touch them like a feather and they'd knock over. Who knows?
I don't know. I bet you there's a different side to Westlife there, which if they're unmanaged and it's completely, there's no manager there trying to lead the narrative on what Westlife are like, there could be a dark age to some of them lads. I'm telling you something, never underestimate a bunch of lads from Dublin.
We did see Brian McFadden at Bongo's Bingo, and he was in quite a state, wasn't he? I think he may have been on what some of D12 on that night.
That back up. I thought I raised that one, but yeah, Westlife next for me.
I was just talking about Bongo's Bingo today because I was talking about Bongo's Bingo because actually on today's show, World of Our Own came on, and I said to Kelly, I was like, oh, you know, Bongo's Bingo, like Brian McFadden. And we were talking about Buckfast.
Oh, no.
And the bottle of Buckfast you won at Bongo's Bingo, and how I had the worst, most scary night's sleep in my life after drinking that Buckfast. I hallucinated that night.
That was amazing. Obviously, St. Patrick's Day in Newcastle, the one Irish guy wins the bottle of Buckfast.
Yeah.
And they tried to shortchange me as well. They tried to, even though the prize was a bottle of Buckfast, they tried to give me a glass of Buckfast.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, no, no. I'm taking the bottle. That's what the prize was. Give me the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
So it was all fun and games at this point. But yeah, that was a dodgy night's sleep, wasn't it?
I was seeing skulls. It was horrible. It was really, really scary.
Did they say Buckfast gets you
fucked? Me and Nathan always say now Buckfast gets you fucked slow.
I will.
Rather than gets you fucked fast, because I was in a right state. I only had a little sip and I was, oh God. Right, so that's that. Superman Lovers, Starlight goes up against Outkast, Miss Jackson. I know where my vote is, but Scotty, are you a bit more conflicted?
Yeah, weighing scales here again.
Mm-hmm.
This is a listener. I've got one that, there's immediately one that sparks more joy in me, which is Superman Lovers. So I need to feel like I've got to be rational here, because, you know, a vote's a vote at this point.
Yeah. Okay, these two tracks came out on the same episode, so these are two that you have already compared side by side, because you had to pick one as a winner.
Yeah.
I believe you picked J-Lo because it became your series winner. I picked Ruby De Silva, Touch Me, because to tune. And I heard it again recently. I still think it's amazing. I still think it's such a big track. And I wish I could have picked that as a series winner now. I do sort of wish secretly it could have been the series winner.
Oh, do you?
I like it more than Daft Punk is the question. I think possibly in some ways, yes, but maybe not in others. Anyway, J-Lo Love Don't Cost a Thing.
Mm-hmm.
In some ways, yeah.
Yeah.
J-Lo Love Don't Cost a Thing, Rue Da Silva Touch Me. I mean, you chose J-Lo as a winner, but... over time, or maybe with a few more listens, could you be swayed by Touch Me?
I don't really remember. Like, I love Touch Me. Like, really, 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 really love it. And I can't remember what I said on the episode that pulled Jennifer Lopez further away. Jennifer's still winning. I'm just trying to figure out how close this is. And, you know, just my mood of the day could get any sort of a press with that one. But I do, like, Love Don't Cost a Thing, significant. Like, to me, it's still significant. The making the video TV program with the twins, like, all of it, it's just a little nice bit of nostalgia for me here.
Okay, next one, Limp Bizkit and Rolling goes up against Basement Jaxx's second track, Where's Your Head At? Rolling's just entered the contest. It's divisive, very divisive. I think people take one look at Limp Bizkit and just think, not these wallies, and vote them down. I was watching a video, and it was last night. It's Anthony Fantano, who's a music kind of reviewer, not a critic, a reviewer. And he was talking about worst band names, and somebody suggested Limp Bizkit. And only then did I realise what Limp Bizkit actually means, because he clarified what it means. Do you know what it means?
No, I've never thought about it. What does it mean?
Limp Bizkit is a bit of a riff on Soggy Bizkit.
Oh, is it?
When a biscuit gets soggy, it goes limp.
Oh.
And to make a soggy biscuit, of course, you know.
Oh. Yeah. No, thanks.
Of course, from the mind of Fred Durst, who gave us, you know, chocolate starfish and the hot dog flavoured water and just the general attitude of Limp Bizkit being quite, you know, grim and gross. Of course, Limp Bizkit is about masturbating on... digestives. Rolling against Where's Your Head At? Scott, where's your head at? What do you think?
Before we'd done this podcast, I would have chosen Rolling, but then now that I realise all of the lameness that comes associated with it, clear as day, Where's Your Head At? I think I loved Where's Your Head At? I'm up there further.
I was listening back to us talking about that recently.
Oh, were you?
And I remember you came in all guns blazing how much you loved it, and then over the course of the review, I ruined it for you. By the end, you were like, you ruined it for us.
That's what happens. That happens when you talk about music, isn't it?
It does. Right, this one, Hearsay entered the contest. And aren't we glad for that? Aren't we delighted? It wasn't either of us who chose that. It was the listener's choice, that one. We would never have chosen Hearsay.
No.
Not that one, anyway. I did quite like Everybody recently. But didn't make it in. Pure and Simple is the one that did, and it goes up against Mystique, All I Want. This on paper should be easy, but it's the listeners who voted for Hearsay in the first place to get it into this contest, so they can't be underestimated. I'll be pretty upset if they win the whole thing, though.
Yeah, I would be too, and I think that, like, Mystique are so cool.
Yeah.
You know, really, they are so cool that really deserves to go to the next round.
Yeah.
I want to see them do well. I think this is, maybe that's my favourite draw, because I am completely 100% Mystique need to win that.
Yeah.
But obviously, we're realistic about this, they could go.
Yes, indeed. And finally, Destiny's Child, Bootylicious, and that beautiful Stevie Nicks sample. Up against Linkin Park in the end, my current series winner, my current obsession.
Oh.
Potentially my winner for the entire series for the next, you know, 8 years now.
Mm-hmm.
I know what I'm voting for. It's no secret that I'm a big Linkin Park in the end fan. Scott, thoughts?
Same camp as you.
Mm-hmm.
The first 3 seconds of Destiny's Child could chuck you out, but yeah, I get you.
Yeah.
We haven't got nice challenges, have we, for our episode winners at all?
Mm-mm. No.
Or series winners.
So that is the 16 games. They'll be going live on our Twitter this afternoon. It'll be about 1 o'clock, I imagine. It'll be about 1 o'clock. So do let us know what you think. Do share us some thoughts. Do, if you're going to vote, leave us a little reply as to why you've chosen what you've chosen.
Yeah.
Are you outraged by some of the decisions? Are you outraged by some of the draws that have been made? Have you got a track that you think could be a dark horse potentially? We'd love to hear from you. TNN Pod on Twitter is how you'll find everything to vote. And that's the same across all the socials too. Hello at tnnpod.co.uk is the email address. and we'll be back with you again in a few days' time to recap the results of that and preview the next round, which will be the round of 16. Any takeaway thoughts, Scott? Any thoughts generally about life that you want to share with us?
Probably any time that I think about or engage with this World Cup, I need to go and do some mindfulness immediately afterwards, because it's so highly charged. Like, I want you to vote like retweet, vote like retweet, yeah. Vote like retweet.
Yeah.
Let's get it out there. Let's make it a big deal.
Yeah.
And just spread the word, really, and get everybody engaged, because let's make a big hoo-ha out of this. People need this as the summer's kind of coming towards us. We need, like, let's get a bit of life and a bit of blood pumping through the veins.
Yeah. There's, alongside this that we're doing now is, like, actual local elections that are taking place at the start of May. And I think we're going to see a lot of political campaigning. We're going to see a lot of party political broadcasts. We're going to get a lot of leaflets at the door. And that's all well and good. And please do go and vote for your local people and stuff. But this is the vote that matters.
Yeah.
This is the vote that matters. We will see you again soon. Do, as Scott said, share the hell out of it. And make sure your favourite gets through. Don't stop breaking our hearts, because we've already lost so many good soldiers in this battle. We can't afford to lose any more.
Nah.
We can't say which is which. It's all up to you. All up to you. Scott, a pleasure as always. I love seeing you.
And I love seeing you.
Your upside down head.
My beard's long. That's funny.
The beard is... The beard's like sort of... I'd guess like 15 centimetres long.
Let's
at this
have
point.
A look.
20 centimetres long.
There's an iPhone 11. Is it the full length of an iPhone 11?
It's pretty much a full iPhone, yeah. Mad.
Okay. Yeah.
Amazing.
Cool.
I'm very jealous.
Obviously, like 90% Cruella de Vil.
Yeah.
Really, too.
It's good, though. I like it. I'm very jealous. I've got one long one. I noticed last night, one long beard hair that, like, sticks out like a tuft.
At least it matches your left nipple.
Yeah, true. It does. Thanks. See you again soon.
See you soon. Love you. Bye.